Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here with you today. I am so excited for today's guest. I have the honor of sharing with all of you Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. And Dr. Kathy is a holistic clinical pharmacist and the founder and CEO of her private counseling practice in holistic health and medicine, RX Integrative Solutions in Blue Ash, Ohio. In 2002, Dr. Rosenbaum traveled to China to study herbal research and global healthcare solutions and has a background in pharmaceutical industry, hospital-based pharmacy practice, medication quality and safety, academia, and now holistic health counseling. She is a member of the Academy of the Integrative Health and Medicine and the editorial board for pharmacy practice news and holistic primary care. Last November, Dr. Kathy published her first book, Don't Sweep It Under the Drug: Integrating Evidence-Based Body, Mind, Spiritual Practices into Your Health and Wellness Toolkit. The book won second place in the fall 2015 Zulon Press Christian Publishers Contest, and she is here to talk with us today. And another fun thing about today's show, we are recording live from the Country Club Resort in Cabo San Lucas. How fun is that? Well, welcome, Dr. Kathy.
Good evening, Paula. It's so nice to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so honored and so excited to share your information with everyone. I would love to start with, if you want to share anything about yourself, and then share with us, what is a holistic clinical pharmacist, and how are these pharmacists trained?
Absolutely. I am currently in over 30 years in the business, and so I've seen a lot of different things that have come about over the last three or four decades. Professionally, and of course, we all talk about healthcare at the dinner table. So everyone, it seems, is very apprised of the issues that are in the traditional world. But a holistic clinical pharmacist is sort of both and. A pharmacist by training, as you would expect traditionally. I have a doctorate in pharmacy, and then holistically, I think about a person's body, mind, and spirit, not just his or her body. And clinical means that all the recommendations that we talk about in the consulting practice are evidence-based. So I'm looking and seeking for primary literature. I'm looking for the evidence, the pros and the cons of different non-traditional practices, maybe the dietary supplements. But I'm also wanting to share with our listeners that I'm not promoting any products, not associated with any pharmaceuticals or any supplements that might be of interest to you.
Excellent.
And as far as the training goes, this is all training that I received on my own. It's not taught in pharmacy school, per se, nor medical schools. There are maybe a suggestion of some courses in all of those professional arenas, but still, we're not quite there, sadly. But we'll get there.
Yes, yes. There's so much out there all the time. It's so exciting. So, Dr. Kathy, how did you get involved with integrative health?
Well, you know, Paula, it was such an unusual circumstance, but so many things in life do happen that way. And way back in 2001, I had just completed my MBA, and I was literally sitting out in the driveway one lovely afternoon, looking up in the sky and just asking God, what next?
Yes.
And I went to the mailbox, and here was this incredible opportunity to travel to China with other physicians and PharmDs like myself, biochemists and researchers. And we went over there and spent some time in a rural barefoot doctor clinic in the middle of China. And then we spent some time in Beijing at government-sponsored research hospitals. And we talked with people from the government and from other pharmaceutical companies that had footprints on the ground there. And we also spoke with individuals who were in the universities in the surrounding areas. And they want to learn about us, and we wanted to learn about them, of course.
Yes.
So coming back, that is a life-changing event, and I figured there was something I was supposed to be doing with that information. And so I just began to read and learned a lot about the dietary supplements, but then thirsted for so much more.
Oh, I can just imagine how life-changing that must have been. Such an experience.
It was. And then I think the other pivotal turning point in our family's life around that time was the fact that my father had begun his health journey, which ended up being over several years, and experienced a lot of what I would very aptly call miracles in his recoveries. And I was very moved by all of that. And our family needed a lot of help to be able to cope with all of what he had to experience. It seemed like it all just came together.
Yes. Oh, beautiful. And what are some of the most popular non-traditional practices you have seen evolve over, let's say, the last 10 years?
In our area, in the Midwest, interestingly, it's been acupuncture. And I have to smile about that, because it requires a great deal of faith in the traditional medical sense, because there's more to it than meets the eye. It's not just needling through meridians around the body at acupressure or acupuncture points, but it can be a diagnostic tool alongside traditional Chinese medicine diagnostics with pulse and tongue diagnostics. And it can be a combination therapy, which so many non-traditional practices are, which also involves supplements and perhaps even meditation. You know, I think Tai Chi has become very popular around this part of the country as well. And I would also say maybe aromatherapy and meditation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
All are great tools. And I personally, through meeting an amazing acupuncturist through my show, I now get acupuncture treatments about once a month, and I absolutely love it. I love it.
Well, I'm so pleased that you enjoy that experience and it's working and meeting your health needs.
It's awesome. now, is there a prescription drug epidemic in the USA?
You know, I'd have to say yes, Paula, to that. I understand that there's a place for medicines, but they're not the only option. Many times there are many other things that can be tried, non-invasive interventions, that is, that can be tried. In the integrative sense, there are other practices that might even complement prescriptions or obviate the need for such high doses. You know, we worry so much about side effects and interactions, and as the geriatric population, the seniors, continue to expand, we find that they're on many, many, many more medications as time goes on. And my hope is to try to de-escalate or consolidate as much of that as possible by working with the traditional docs and, you know, scouring the literature and trying to figure out what we can make work in combination.
Yes, yes. I love that. I love that. Well, Dr. Kathy, it's time to pop out for a commercial. So, everyone, we will be right back with some more discussion with Dr. Kathy. Thank you. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here. If you're just tuning in, I am sharing some fantastic discussion with Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. She is a holistic clinical pharmacist. And I would love to open up and discuss, Kathy, share with us, is there a dietary supplement epidemic in the USA? What do you say on that?
Well, people are certainly trying to take their health concerns and goals into their own hands. And one of the ways that they're doing that, in my opinion, is through the dietary supplement category. In trying to stay away from drugs, they're now using dietary supplements to take the place of medicines. Many of them are, some aren't. But many of them don't realize that in so doing, they have to also concern themselves with side effects and interactions, because a lot of those supplements are just promoted through marketing hype. They're not necessarily evidence-based. And much more importantly, I think we've not done a great job in our country educating on whole foods and nutrition.
Yes.
And when people hear the message and really truly want to do something about their nutrition and are in a place to do so financially, with regard to access and so on, they understand that supplements can be an addition. The word supplement means in addition to, not replacing,
yes.
completely replacing whole foods
yes.
as our bodies were intended to use for fuel. So yes, I do. I think there's many more supplements that are being used than perhaps are necessary. But without the advice and consent of a learned intermediary, sometimes it's hard. It's really hard to know what to take and what not to take.
Yes, it can be really confusing. There are so many supplements and so many different kinds of supplements, and you know, you want to, okay, I want to make sure my body gets what it should get. And I love what you said. Many times people think I take a supplement that makes up for what I may not be eating. So for the listeners, what would you recommend someone really just looking to get on a good supplement regimen? Any suggestions on that, Dr. Kaplan?
Well, it's hard to generalize, I think, Paula. And one of the things that we're trying to do is have a personalized approach to this category of healing and health. But I would say, you know, many people ask about multivitamins. There's certainly nothing wrong with taking a multivitamin at any stage in life. We all have different needs, and so it's important to sort of identify those specific needs as a woman or a man at a certain age, you know, nutritionally based changes with notwithstanding, if you're a vegetarian or a meat eater, for example. If you've got bone issues, you know, there's so many women now that are dealing with osteopenia and osteoporosis. They are wanting more calcium and D in their diet along with exercise. So that's a concern that we work on. But, you know, beyond that, there are a lot of herbs that have medicinal value, and with a little bit of guidance can be of help to, you know, support some conditions for the gentleman as well. One thing that comes to mind is we call it BPH or benign prostatic hypertrophy, or just enlargement of the prostate gland, said another way. So that's one. Those are a couple, three areas where I frequently help people.
Oh, I love it. And this opens a door to sharing with everyone. You have actually written a book to help baby boomers navigate back to basic lifestyle choices and consolidate their meds and supplements whenever possible. Why should we be interested in doing these things?
Well, that's a great question, Paula. I think first and foremost because it's the safest way to stay healthy. We don't need mega doses of supplements and duplications of drugs and supplements. And we don't need to keep taking more products to counteract side effects from the first product and on in such a fashion. But I also think that economically, if you think about how many supplements are out on the worldwide concourse, there's over 60,000. There is a tremendous amount of money to be gained in that category from consumers who really don't know what the right combination or said another way, don't start with back to basics and then just add a few here and there supplements or, you know, meds as they have to take without ever speaking about de-escalating the dose or, using intermittent therapy.
Yes.
I kind of feel that the body takes a look at drugs and now even with supplements in these high doses that keep going higher on the shelves, like foreign materials. And sooner or later, the body chooses to, in the long-term fashion, reject the product, and you have side effects and all of the things that we've talked about, remembering that the clinical studies were short-term, they weren't studied over a lifetime. But nutrition, on the other hand, is perfection. It's seen as fuel. And there are some medicinal herbs that have tremendous nutritional value as well. So to tell you the summation or the short story, I'm really hoping that people will hear the message, which is somewhat countercultural, Paula. It's just so hard to say that less is more. But that's really the message that we're trying to promote.
Yes, I love that. What is your 8 balance point for healing, and why do we need that, Doctor?
Well, we spend a lot of time on our physical selves, and yet in our life journey, there are so many more components to it. And those fascinated me in China and ever since, and they include such things as our, certainly beyond nutrition and exercise, how we sleep, which is affected in a mind-body sense, with how we manage our stress or our emotions, our social health,
yes,
our connectivity to our communities, our churches and others, even our environmental health. Are we conscious of the environment, and are we being good stewards? And then finally, for me, it's at the top of a pyramid of, stair steps, in healing is our spiritual self, and our health in that category has become more and more interesting to me as time has gone on.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that a lot. And something I'm very fascinated with myself personally over the years with my journey, learning Reiki. I've always been into nutrition, being more into nutrition, my body, raising my vibration, I have found I don't eat near as much as I did in past years. I have less appetite. I don't need as much sleep. Is that just the body giving you the correct signals?
Well, I'm going to guess that you're a good meditator.
I am.
Am I correct? Yes, I can sense that of you. And, meditation has been scientifically studied as being life-enhancing. And in fact, there was just a fascinating piece of research done, I think it was around 2009, which ended up winning the Nobel Peace Prize, and perhaps you've heard of it. The researchers were looking at something called the telomere on the end of a chromosome, and the telomere being sort of like a shoelace tip, protective of the telomere, of the chromosome, that is. And it was linked to how we managed our stress, or how one manages stress in general. And the longer the telomere, the more protective it is genetically, the shorter, the less protective. And if we manage our stress through meditation and relaxation, we can lengthen those telomeres and have some control over our genetic forecast. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it is. You read my mind. I was just, it's so amazing. It's just absolutely beautiful. And I just love it. It's fantastic. Oh, and also, Dr. Corey, you consult individual patients one-on-one as a health coach. What does a typical session look like? Do you review medications, supplements, interactions, side effects? Share that with us, please.
Well, typical sessions include a one-on-one, face-to-face, personalized discussion. And so it's the patient and myself, and we're, in essence, trying to hone in on his or her health goal. And they will tell me a little bit about their medical history and the products that they're taking, and they'll give me an idea of where they would like to go. And so my first and foremost responsibility is to keep them safe, of course. Mm-hmm. So yes, we do look at what you would expect a pharmacist to look at, once again, side effects and interactions. But with the supplements not being so well regulated as the traditional prescription meds, we have to be talking about quality of the products as well. So once we get through all of that, some patients elect to go through the eight balance point discussion. And we end up talking about different interventions, giving tips, health tips, or all of the above, and we develop a toolkit together. And that toolkit is kind of neat. It becomes something that I hand back to the patient in the form of a written report, and they get to take that to their docs, and they get to have that information as time goes on. If they want to pull out a tool from that toolkit and work on it, for example, maybe they're trying their very best to work on emotional healing,
yes.
Stress management. That's a real big one for so many people. And then they check in periodically. So it's just become a really privilege and fun experience to be able to meet people at their place of need and just learn about them, because everyone is fascinating, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I love it. And I love that you focus on their individuality and create a sense of working on exactly where they're at. I am just loving this discussion, Dr. Kathy. I am afraid we do have to pop out for another commercial, but everyone stay tuned. We will be right back with Dr. Kathy. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Why Am I So Happy? Today I am chatting with Dr. Kathy. If you're just joining us, she is discussing the consulting work that she does with individual patients one-on-one as a health coach. Just fantastic information that you've given us, Doctor. And I would like to ask, what are some of the typical reasons people come see you, and how are these patients referred to you also?
Oh, I would say some of the more popular reasons include, for the ladies, osteoporosis. Many women are not wanting to take the prescription medications that are in this category to build their bones back up because there's so many serious side effects. I also do get a lot of individuals coming for menopausal symptoms. They, once again, are trying to stay away from hormone replacement therapy. Osteoarthritis, knee pain, joint pain. Some of my athletes are, trying their very best to stay off of the non-steroidals like, Motrin, Aleve, Celebrex,
yes.
And avoid a knee replacement as long as possible. So they're looking for ways to build up their cartilage. Oh, gosh, what else? I guess I see some cardiac patients from time to time that are certainly working on their cholesterol, and, there's great news there. There are so many foods that can help lower cholesterol, and the big drug category there that people are concerned about are the statins, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then there's a fair amount of individuals that come just for prevention, just for general health. How am I doing? Or I've already tried... here's the supplements that I thought were healthy. For example, a handful of antioxidants. Am I doing the right ones, the right doses? Is it going to make a difference or not? Or am I just throwing my money away? And we talk about those things.
Yes. Now, Dr. Kathy, can some of your patients Can you work with them long distance, or do they have to actually come see you personally?
It's always best if they come personally, but I do have a Skype practice and a telephone practice for those who are out of town. And so it can be a fun experience as well. It is my desire to get to know the individual as best that I can, because I think the more details that we have, the more personalized the toolkit and the consultation becomes. So patients are referred to me from all over the country, many times from physicians that I already know and other colleagues, but they can come on their own too. So
yes.
People can self-refer as well.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, Doctor, where do you see traditional healthcare going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, goodness, that could be an hour show, Paula. That
Woo-hoo.
question, it could be an hour
Open
show.
The door.
Well, I guess, gosh, you know, in the short course, I really think we're going to have more of the same. I don't see that dramatically change. I don't see the landscape of hospitalization and payment structure and, you know, emphasis on treatment as opposed to prevention, if you will, changing that dramatically in certainly 5 years. But in 10 years, I would hope that we are now beginning to have additional training in medical school, in pharmacy school, and in nursing school, where it is mandatory that we learn about integrative health principles, where there is much more emphasis on nutrition and a practical emphasis, not as, you know, calorie counting necessarily or, you know, anything that's more academic, but really practical-based information so that families can assimilate this information into their routines easily and learn about whole foods and maybe even start growing some of their own in their own gardens and such. But I do feel that the healthcare professionals in our country would probably also be more engaged in collaboration. So there are going to be teams of practitioners collaborating with the patient at the center of the team and as an equal partner on the team making more of their own decisions. Can you imagine that?
Oh, yes. Oh, fantastic. And so will integrative health become more prevalent in the primary care office practices, do you believe?
I think for the younger physicians coming out in maybe 5 or 10 years, they are getting some exposure to a both-and approach. But most of what they're being trained to do is, again, treat. So in primary care, that's a great, I think, a great arm of medicine that would be aptly poised to help prevention come along through the integrative cycle. And I think integrative health and medicine focused more on health is prevention 101. It really is where we need to be as a society as best that we can. And teaching the principles of prevention would be a great asset that I think primary care physicians could give to us.
Yes, yeah. I love that because, oh my gosh, with focusing on prevention, that could be so huge in then what has to be addressed. I love that. I love that. Are price points and access the biggest problems with lack of adoption for integrative health practices? Is it more related to lack of high quality research and high quality products and services?
Well, that's a good question too. There are many parts to that. I think when you talk about acupuncture, for example, and how much you enjoy that, you know, most people can't afford acupuncture treatments because they are pretty pricey, unless the alternative is more expensive, meaning if you're using acupuncture, for example, for smoking cessation, you know, the price of the packs of cigarettes are much more expensive than the sessions of acupuncture. And acupuncture works for many for that reason. But, yeah, I still think price point, because most of these non-traditional practices, unfortunately, are not covered by insurance, and that does include the dietary supplements. But I think access has really improved. I don't think that's really so much a problem anymore. It certainly is much, much more. These practices are certainly, I would say, prevalent now as opposed to, you know, 15 years ago.
Yes,
but as far as research, I'm happy you brought that up. We as healthcare professionals have an obligation to the public and to our patients to stay on top of the published literature. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not sure that everybody does at this point. But
yes.
I would love to think that with a little encouragement, we could all support one another and do so as time goes on.
I love that. And I, for one, am happy to see and hoping, you know, more and more as we go along, things such as with myself, a Reiki practitioner, there are some insurance companies now that will cover Reiki. So, and
really?
Yes, yes, very few, but there are some. And, you know, if we can get acupuncture and the different things covered, how wonderful would that be in the world of prevention? I just love it.
I agree, and I think more people would try these practices. I do, if they were covered by insurance.
Yes, yes, absolutely. That would make a huge difference. So, Dr. Kathy, do traditional doctors believe in integrative medicine? If so, why or why not?
In certain parts of the country, they sure do. And, you know, for example, in Arizona, I'm just thinking of the huge, big pockets of integrative practices, would include certainly Andrew Weil's fellowship out in Tucson. And then Bastyr University in Washington State has a naturopathy degree. Naturopathic degree. You know, the Boston area is really heavy into integrative health. MD Anderson down south in Texas is into it. Some of the clinics, the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, and some of the universities like Ohio State in our state here are starting to get into it. I think what our listeners might be interested in knowing, however, as a traditional pharmacist or a traditional physician, if I put on those hats for a moment, say I wanted to refer to a non-traditional practitioner, that's like referring to a consultant. We expect of our consultants 100% credibility, 100% quality every time. And we expect that experience to go well because that then reflects back on us. And it helps us, you know, enhance the care for the patient. Imagine when that doesn't go so well, or if that didn't go so well, meaning maybe you don't really know the practitioners. And that's part of the problem. We have to come out of the woodwork and let traditional physicians see us and listen to us and understand some of our principles and understand in return theirs and work more collaboratively while trust is being built.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the reasons, that lack of trust is one of the reasons why some of them may believe in all of this or much of it, which is evidence-based, but they just don't know who the credible practitioners are to refer to.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. My gosh. Well, Dr. Kathy, I'm afraid we have to pop out for one more commercial, but everyone, we will be right back. Stay tuned. Thank you. Everyone, welcome back. Paula V here with Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. We are having some fantastic conversation, and Kathy, I'd like to jump in on some of what we were just finished talking about, and I would love to have you share some thought on, are there out there some traditional doctors selling supplements connected with lab testing in their offices? How does that model work or not?
Well, yes, Paula, there are some of those. And it's basically another extension to traditional medicine, one that involves selling products and is somewhat covered by insurance. So I understand that. I get it. Mm-hmm. The lab tests are typically covered, many of them, and then the supplements become a revenue stream as well. But for the patients, a lot of times the reason they seek doctors that are doing this type of practice is because they're looking for their vitamin levels or antioxidant levels, and the type of testing that's not usually done in a primary care physician's office, and sometimes is not completely covered by insurance, so it's a cash, out-of-pocket expense. I I think sometimes they're interesting. I've read a lot of nutritional reports and vitamin and antioxidant level reports for my patients, and we've talked about what to do next and how to interpret the information. Remembering that a lot of times these are numbers, and you don't certainly want to chase just a number in a preventative fashion, but by the same token, trying to look at a combination of nutrition and supplements to me is a more well-rounded approach. So I'm not into more supplements and only supplements, as I spoke about at the top of the hour, but I'm really intrigued when people are really seeking to take their health regimens and their health knowledge to the next level, and I think that's good.
Yes, yes. And one question I'm curious about as far as supplements, is there a difference on what you pay for supplements? I mean, is it you get what you pay for, or is there, you know, when someone's shopping for supplements, should they try to go a more expensive supplement? Does that tell us something, or is it basically if that's what it is, that's what it is?
Well, you're asking about quality, Paula.
Yes, yes.
And I really like that thought that you're seeking even deeper into you know, what you're putting into your mouth or ingesting, rather, into your body before you do so. The type of information that's ideal is the following. One, to call the company and ask for something called a certificate of analysis. That's their quality spec sheet. And that's something that I do constantly, so we can really hone in on a particular brand that a patient might be interested in. Another sort of tip for our listeners in choosing supplements is to look for something that's been independently certified. Who are the certifiers, you might ask? Well, those would be companies like the USP, organizations, companies, Consumer Lab, and they have a little icon on the label to show you that they have been independently certified. But you know, that's just the product potency, and is it what it says it is on the label?
Yes.
Quality inspection. It's not, does this actually work in the human body at a certain dose for a certain indication that's exactly like what I have? And what I find amazing, and also, you know, kind of a call to action for our pharmacists that are out there helping to consult as well, when people realize that the supplements are regulated as foods and they're supposed to be an extension of nutrition, they're not to act like drugs, which means they mitigate, cure disease, because they would be pulled by the FDA from the shelves if they so did. So their labeling and their claims are all very vague, and they are nutritionally based, such as it supports the health of the prostate. When we all know that people are taking a particular supplement to help with, you know, prostatic enlargement like a drug would do. So we have to kind of play the balance carefully and thoughtfully between quality and safety. And in this category of self-treatment, make sure that you've got, you know, a learned healthcare professional in the mix.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, thank you. That was fantastic. Now, Dr. Kathy, in your book, you talk about spiritual health. What does that look like, and why is that so important to you as a healthcare professional?
Well, I think it's a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, because I've always been, I believe, very spiritual. And many times in life, it seems like right out of the gate, we get into discussions in this particular aspect of our journey that are polarizing. And we're looking at our differences as opposed to our similarities. And so to stay away from that and to try to focus on healing, I have a notion that if we describe what somebody who's spiritually healthy looks like and acts like, it's an easier, quote-unquote, pill to swallow, pun intended. And I think people that are healers like yourself, I'm sure, have a glow. Meaning you look at their face and you listen to their voice and their cadence, and within 5 minutes you can see that there's just an aura of positive energy and joy, and it's contagious energy. It's,
yes,
you know, breathtaking joy that you just can't believe. And yet you're so curious about how can I get what they have, type of a curiosity.
Yes.
And really, in this aspect, we talk about, in our sessions, prayer to a higher power. We talk about spiritual retreats and how refreshing and cleansing those can be, decluttering the noise of life. We talk about the element of forgiveness. You know, I many times quote Alcoholics Anonymous, and it might sound strange, but their principles are very, very spiritually based, and they're healthy. One of the aspects in AA, one of the 12 steps, if you will, is that you have to go and ask for forgiveness from others that you feel that you've hurt, if it doesn't harm them. I think reaching out and having that courage to say I'm sorry is very cleansing spiritually. And then I guess, you know, to round it out, I think of being spiritually whole as being a servant, and sometimes in a sacrificial way, that you serve for others. You serve as a leader, by example. You maybe serve in the community through your volunteering work and paying it forward because of your desire to give thanks. So those elements, I don't know, for me, those are just a few that describe somebody who's really well on his or her way to spiritual health.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And please share with the listeners where they can go to get copies of your book.
Well, Don't Sweep It Under the Rug is now available on Amazon.com, and it's available as a paperback and in Kindle presentation.
Oh, I love it. Excellent. And where can consumers go for more information on your professional mission and ministry, and, you know, as such as your website?
My website would be a great place. It is rxintegrativesolutions.com, and that's all one word, and it's the name of the company. So it's RX like prescription, integrative solutions.
Yes. Oh, I love that. And as we come into our final few minutes of the show, Doctor, any last inspiration, or what last words would you like to share with the listeners today?
Oh, I do so hope that our listeners are encouraged to know that there are so many of us out there, professionals that are wanting to help and waiting to help. All of you along your path, find a more complete journey of healing. And it can be done safely and with good quality and good evidence. If you find that you're in a situation where your traditional physician is, for whatever reason, not quite meeting your needs, please do seek out others. Talk to other professionals in your communities. Do some research online. Ask some questions before you practice or, you know, assume a practice that's non-traditional, because you want to make sure to get the best fit that you can. Just because somebody's, you know, teaching yoga doesn't necessarily mean it's the yoga that's best for you and your individual needs. So, keep searching and keep asking, and good luck to you, and blessings to all of you as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Kathy. You have been a blessing to all of us, and I'm so excited about your book and everything you do for others. And you know, it's so wonderful that whoever we are, wherever we are, today's a new day. And, you know, we can start on this beautiful path.
Absolutely. And best of luck and blessings to you too, Paula.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Kathy. Hugs and blessings. Hugs and blessings to everyone, and a happy day to everyone. Thank you. Goodbye.